Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine. It's episode 117. I'm Jason Snell, and across the internet, your host, Mr. Tim Goodman. Hello.
Hello, Jason.
Did you enjoy the music this week?
I did, actually. I enjoy more the fact that I can sort of hear a little giddiness in your voice about something we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true, too. I were using different software where I was able to play the theme song, which is just a little bonus. We don't normally hear the theme song when we do this.
No.
And it really gets you in the mood of a local cable TV commercial.
It really does, yeah. It's because normally it's a cold open for us. Now I feel the chills of thrilling excitement.
Yeah, chills, thrills, spills. Anything could happen. Anything could happen on this TV Talk Machine. You know, there's stuff. We're not in a like high season of premieres right now, but there's stuff going on. I know you're always constantly working on things. With three new reviews that you posted this week. There's a premiere coming soon of a show that we talked about last week. You got some stuff that you're working on for the next couple of weeks. I have one viewing to report myself, which is I watched the 2-hour premiere of The Expanse.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it's The Expanse is back is basically my review of that, which is it is not, other than the addition of one new character. It is in style and tone. It's pretty much exactly the same show it was. So if people liked that, you know, kind of oblique dialogue, not always sure, hey, have we seen that guy before? that's all things that they sort of like. It doesn't remind me of The Wire in very many ways, but that is a way where it does, where like it's a little hard to follow and it doesn't care and it wants you to pay attention, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's always, I love that. That's always a bold lesson, the David Simon lesson.
Yeah, and you know, we have DVRs now, folks. So just back it up.
Yeah.
And if you really don't know who that guy was, look on the internet; they'll tell you who that guy was. It's just we all have. You can look things up, you know, footnotes if you need them. But instead of having that like flashback, oh, there's that guy, and he used to be over here, and now he's here, and now I know who that guy is. It's like, no, just tell your story. And anyway, I enjoyed it a lot.
You were pleased with that?
A lot of fun. Yeah. I was pleased with it. I like that show a lot. I like how it approaches space stuff without being too cheesy. And
yeah,
that makes me happy.
I think sometimes when a show comes back and it's comfortable, like it was the same season before, it feels good.
Oh, I think that's always the worry, right? With a second season, is can they really make it work? And they have the help here of the scaffolding of the book series that it's based on, so they know where they're going. It's a little like Game of Thrones. They know where their plots are taking them, and that means that they're not, you know, don't have that problem of like making it up as they go along, or we only really had the idea for the first season, so now what are we going to do? Like, they just are continuing to tell their story. So
good.
That's all good. Although my complaint is actually that the Sci-Fi Channel decides to do these 2-hour premieres and they start at 10 p.m. It's like, who am I?
Yeah,
Am I a skunk? A nocturnal creature of some sort? Am I a college student? I am not. Why is your premiere on until midnight? So
that would be easy for me to watch, but very few others.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not. It's not entirely true. I would like to be a night owl, but the other people with whom I share a house all have schedules that require them to sleep like normal humans.
Yeah.
And so thus I am forced to also sleep like a normal human, even though I am actually a bat person.
Yeah, well, as a longtime night owl, I can tell you it can get overrated sometimes.
I believe it. It's just every now and then I feel like I'm really kicking it into gear, and it's like 8:00. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
geez,
I know,
okay.
Right? Yeah,
give it up. So next week, next week, there's some interesting stuff premiering. But before we do that, we should probably talk about some of the shows that that have already aired that your reviews have gone up. Now, we talked about Agatha Christie's Witness for the Prosecution that is on Acorn.
Acorn.
We talked about that last week, but it did premiere on Monday, so people can check that out if they've got Acorn. Spy in the Wild, we talked about last week, and your review went up, and I love that because you detailed all the various animatronic animals that are used in Spy in the Wild, including the baby hippo.
Yeah, that show, that was a lot of fun to write that review, although at the end of it, you know, I laughed because a certain amount of time was definitely put into the Agatha Christie, even though they weren't really long. the Agatha Christie one and then the Nature series. And I'll just be honest, I probably not a lot of people are going to watch either of those.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
But, you know, I felt like they had to be reviewed. I think they were totally worth it. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's the anti... Like next week, I think people are going to watch Legion, and I got tons and tons of people who read the review. But yeah, I think maybe the Acorn series, although I'm firmly behind that. It's really, really great. And then the animatronic animals.
Yes.
Probably not, but it was fun to write it.
Animatronic mm-hmm. animals. Animals, mm-hmm. animals, animatronic animals.
And how can you not say Spy Lemur? Spy Lemur.
Spy Lemur, Spy Sloth. Mm-hmm. Spy baby hippo, spy prairie dog.
Spy and as prairie you put, dog was great.
Every time nature introduces one, it's hard not to shout out "spy chimp" excitedly. Spy tortoise being deployed. That's great.
Just because people can still find that, and people are I can see people on my feed have kind of found it. I will just say, when they first introduced Spy Chimp, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
We have I have a letter. I'm going to pull it forward. We had a letter about Spy in the Wild, so I wanted to get it. I wanted to get it out in the wild right now. Jonathan from Plus 44, he said yes. This is Spy in the Wild episode 4 broadcast tonight when he emailed us, and that yes, there is a How It Was Done final episode, but no sign of Spy drop bears so far.
That would have been pretty great.
And then
the
his
whole
letter,
Spy Australia would be good.
His letter meant that's a sequel, right? Spy in the Wild 2 Australia. Can I recommend to Tim a career change if he gets fed up with too much TV or too much politics? Go and work in a vineyard for a year. While working, you can drink the previous year's wine, looking forward to next year's wine. Vineyards are often clustered in groups, plenty of choice. Having done this as a career break, it's well worth it. Interesting.
Yeah,
so there's
I think that's...
There's where you can drop out.
That's, you know, that seems like a very distinct possibility. Get my hands in the earth.
Yeah.
Get in there. I have a friend who's a wine expert and did that in his formative years. And that's why he became a wine expert in the wine business. But yeah, he did all of that stuff. And his stories were like, oh, it's the career I could never have, but I will drink to that.
No, so, that's right. You just drink the wine. That's fine. That works. Mm. It's funny you mentioned, I was thinking this too, obviously, like your review of Agatha Christie's Witness for the Prosecution on Acorn, like who is going to see that? But that's that it's kind of like you, if you're going to write your appreciation of Acorn and there's a notable show that premieres on Acorn, you kind of got to go with it, right? Because otherwise no one will ever find this channel. The only way for it to be treated seriously or to taken seriously is to treat it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's like the chicken and the egg. You had to have an egg or something, or a chicken. I don't know. I lost that metaphor.
I think we'll do that going forward, too. I mean, it'll probably be, you know, it's not going to be, you know, the big breakout shows that the people are going to be talking with buzzing about. But it's worth it. And I think, especially now when it's so crowded in the field, why not? These shows deserve to be get the attention that they deserve. So I'm gonna do my part, my little bit.
There's some, you may find that they are premiering some shows that were pretty big breakout buzz shows somewhere else, and that makes them kind of, and have never been, you know, seen in the U.S. before. That probably will be some of their strategy, too. So
I think so.
It's great. All right, Powerless. We should talk about Powerless. We mentioned it last time it premiered. Your review went up. This is the sort of superhero world sitcom with Vanessa Hudgens, Danny Pudi, some other people in it, Alan Tudyk. So your review seemed to just be like the grade you gave it would be an incomplete.
Incomplete, yeah. It was funny because you know I was coming to that a little bit late. I had other things I was doing, but at the same time I felt ready for it. I felt powerless because after I wrote this story, I turned it in really early, but it didn't actually get posted. Until like 3 p.m. So even though I have the power to post things, they don't want me to do it. They prefer to go through the system. But when it goes through the system so slow like that, it is kind of maddening. So I was wishing I had some kind of superpower myself to like to say, hey, can I just like make this go live because it's airing tonight, everybody. but yeah, it's an incomplete because they only sent one episode. And, you know, there's probably some strategy there. I think that the networks, sometimes they just don't really care. Maybe they don't know if they... they probably knew that this was an incomplete pilot in that it was something that started in 2015 and then it lost the guy who created it and then they had to reshoot scenes. And so the pilot is kind of like a kind of a mess. I mean, not the worst mess that I've seen, but one of the things that I got out of the of writing it is I think that I very rarely come across shows like this, and that is it's not a very good pilot. I explain why it's not. And I think there are very good excuses why they're not, why it didn't turn out to be a very coherently, you know, excellent pilot. But I also put a little history in there and say, you know, a lot of really, and you and I have talked about this many times, a lot of really great sitcoms have started and the first four or five episodes have just been not very good. Yeah. And then they can turn into classics. So I think sometimes when I never give a definitive review on something where there's only the pilot. I mean, unless it is like burned to the ground, awful. The drama is just like it's the worst scorched earth drama. You can pretty much make a judgment there that they're not going to make a comeback, but particularly on a sitcom, you can't. And so I was just saying, like, you know, give it patience, but it put me in the interesting position that I'm rarely in. And that is like, I could look at the show and say, okay, yeah, the pilot's not very good. There's a reason for that. The writing could be better. There's a knock on it right there. At the same time, I actually think there's a vibe to it where if they find their footing on the writing, it'll work because the characters are very distinctive. The premise is very good. And I think that if they can be creative in the fictional products that they create to offset the damage being done to the Charm City, in this case by superheroes, it'll work. I also don't have, as we've discussed in length here, deep knowledge of either the DC Comics world or the Marvel world where you get into these, you know, we talked about Legion being this really obscure Marvel concept. Well, apparently one or two really obscure DC comic people show up in the pilot. And I didn't know that. I just thought they were the hokiest supervillains that I had ever seen.
It turns out the most ridiculous supervillains that couldn't possibly be real are probably old DC comic supervillains. I've had the same feeling on The Flash where they have somebody come up and I'm like, seriously? And they're like, oh yeah, that's the people who know. They're like, oh yeah, that's this guy from the 60s. I'm like, wow, that's really... The top? Really? That's a bad guy? The top? He spins?
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Apparently he is. I know more of the Marvel stuff than the DC stuff, but yeah, I it's an NBC sitcom. It needs to not require any knowledge of anything like that beyond like having maybe seen some superhero movies at the multiplex the last couple of years and
exactly
and knowing what the genre is and what the form is. This show was kind of troubled in its production, right? Like they replaced the showrunner or the creator of the pilot. They replaced with new showrunners. I believe they changed the setting. It was originally when it was picked up, it was going to be set in a completely different, like an insurance company. And now they're in like a security division. Yep. So it's like they really have, you know, talk about a reason why it's hard to judge it on the first one is it sounds like they've really been kind of, putting it back together after taking it apart, after they picked it up. Of course, we like your show. There's just a few changes we want to make. We want to change the premise and you're fired.
That's right. We want to change all of these things. We want to change you.
Yeah.
But usually in those kind of situations, it's very difficult for me to see the upside. But in this, it was just kind of sitting right there. I'm not a particularly big fan of thinking that superhero stuff will be funny because there's not that many comedies. But I just thought, you know what? It has this kind of offbeat sensibility to it, and we'll see if it can happen. Look, the pieces are right there. If somebody can move the levers correctly, I think you might have a pretty good sitcom.
Good cast. Yeah. Sure. It's making me think of The Tick with Patrick Warburton. Those were the days.
It does have that kind of idiosyncratic feel to it. Nice. In the very early stages, it's not as clearly as crazy as that one, but sure. Yeah.
We should mention that Wednesday Legion is airing. You mentioned it and we talked about it last week. It is you don't need any comic book knowledge for it. It's really they're mining an interesting storyline and character from old X-Men and New Mutants comics to make a story that's, you know, it's not... It's it's not something that requires knowledge, and it's, you know, it's not even something that you would think is a traditional sort of superhero kind of story. It just happens to be from the Marvel world, and that's how they, you know, they took the concept and made it into something very different.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that I mean, not that you ever care about this when you're a critic and putting this out there, because, you know, you just never know. I mean, no, I don't think anybody that I know did the Acorn review from Agatha Christie, and I also don't think anybody reviewed the Spy in the Wild Nature series. But it's always nice, like, when you see something in advance, and we tend to go early at THR, that you're not sort of out on an island, even though that's okay. And I've noticed recently that Metacritic number, review number for Legion is at 82. So it is really popular among other critics, apparently. And that's good news. It's a really good show. I think it's like one of those ones you can put on there, put on your list if you're being discerning about how many hours you're spending, and say, hey, this is a good bet. And a lot of people think that. So I urge people to watch on Wednesday.
Yeah, great. Now, Monday, a very exciting show is premiering, and you won the chance to review APB, which is a crime show on Fox. What do we know about APB, Tim?
I will tell you exactly what I know about it, which is this description I'm about to read to you, and you can tell me what you think of it. From Person of Interest producer David Slack, okay, not right, the main producer, comes a new crime procedural that's sort of a cross between that show and Chicago PD. Justin Kirk stars as a Chicago tech billionaire who, fed up with the city's sky-high crime rate, puts up his own money to privatize the police department's 13th precinct and implement cutting-edge technology to fight crime. Oh, I wonder where that could go. Oh boy.
This is also a show that changed showrunners. They fired David Slack and replaced him with Matt Nix.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see, the first few episodes are like from the one showrunner, and then they replace the showrunners. I do like the idea of the tech billionaire buying a police department, because I think he might have a little pure genius.
There's a little cruel streak in you that people just don't really see, but it's there.
This is a little...
It's identical to pure genius, basically.
Well, no, but that was pure genius medical, and this is pure genius police. So this is like the next generation Dick Wolf, where it'll just be tech billionaire cop show, tech billionaire hospital show. We'll move on to tech billionaire law show. That'll be next.
Oh, yeah. So it's coming there. So there's, I think that what I was alluding to at the beginning of the series is your giddiness at the fact that there's going to be probably a lot of not a thing moments.
There has to be. So it's set in Chicago. The Chicago Tribune already wrote its review. And although I did not read the review, I did read the headline, and the headline made me laugh, because this was the headline: tech billionaire utilizes bells, comma, whistles, comma, whiz bangs to solve Chicago crime. That's probably not a thing.
Oh my god. Well, I also, since I was looking at Metacritic, I got a laugh, because 24 Legacy, which premieres this weekend, has had pretty stinging reviews. It's been rebuked at a very low 45, and APB is currently sitting at 42. So this is the things I get for going out and, like, you know, reviewing three low wattage shows in a row. And now I'm going to do APB. Pretty tough. You know, I feel like I'm being like, some of that's of my own choosing. And I did get to, I did get to review the series, which I told you, off mic, that, I just finished this morning, which is, Big Little Lies over at HBO. And that's one that people are going to, there'll be a lot of reviews on that. Unfortunately for me, it gave me the hives and made me angry. So I'm in a little rut of shows. So I'm going to just take solace in the fact that I got to review Legion. That's all.
Yeah. That's right. Big Little Lies doesn't start until the 19th. So there's time for people to get their ointments, so they don't break out in hives.
Get that calamine.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible. Allergic reaction to TV shows. That is a dangerous thing for a TV critic.
It is. I will circle back just quickly to APB and say, yeah. Matt Nix did Burn Notice, so who knows? It could work. And I don't know. Maybe it'll be a thing. But yeah. APB, cutting edge technology, which I'm sure is not a thing. I can't wait to see like what they've dreamt up.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to the live tweeting of or whatever you choose to do.
Nothing's
gonna brain exploding.
Pure genius and like eating things that go inside and do surgery. So
yeah, probably not.
No,
probably not.
That's the best.
We heard from our friend William Blake Heron, the producer of Agent X. He sent out a tweet because we mentioned him and the fact that we had recommended the librarians for those who are in withdrawals from Agent X because it's not coming back. So.
You know, at this point, having to watch APB coming up and I watched some other stuff. I am all over like an Agent X reboot right now. Agent X 2.0. I just want the same people to do it because I think it's going to be good. I think we missed it. I think we were the foreshadowers of a real gem there. And all you needed to do was just tweak the tone slightly so that everybody got the wink wink and then would have been great.
Mm. What did not happen, but maybe next time.
Mm.
Anything more we should be looking out for? Or should we go to the letters?
I think Columbo there's nothing except for, Super Bowl Sunday, so
Super
there's
Bowl?
That.
There's, mm-hmm. That's true. I realize that with all the news that is swirling and all the various political outrages that are going on and things like that, that I've lost track of the fact that, yeah, the Super Bowl, it turns out, is Sunday, the Superb Owl. And there'll always be commercials, you know, and there'll be pretty, you know, weird tech things that they do to like have a camera that goes inside a football or something like that. They mm-hmm. always do something like that. What's your plan for the Super Bowl?
You know, I'm not being tapped right about it, so that's good.
Good.
I think that it's funny. We talked last week that I wanted to write more about endings and I haven't had a chance yet. So. I think I may well start that week or that night. I'll probably cut out a few minutes to do it. My interest lies strictly in the fact that two of my best friends are Patriots fans, and I want them to lose so that they don't get a fifth Super Bowl and then tie the 49ers. And separately, that their team knocked off legendary TVTM contributor Joe Garofoli, aka Question Boy, knocked off his Pittsburgh Steelers. Or if you were an OG and listened to all those previous podcasts, his annoying reference to Stillers,
yes.
As he always said, they were knocked off, though they already have six Super Bowls. They're out of it too. So a little bit of schadenfreude there. And then basically just looking at Kyle Shanahan, who's, 100%, I think now at this point going to be the 49ers next head coach. So that's exciting. I'm all for a very long-term rebuild of a team that has no talent. So I'd like to see what the future coach does. But other than that, I think I'm going to look at a couple of commercials. I'm going to have some egregious food and then put it aside and get on to, the Young Pope or something like that.
All right. Solid. Good plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think my plan is probably similar. Get some nachos or something. And
yep. That's how you do it.
And be done. Yeah. All right. I got a few letters. Not a lot of letters this time. People should know. I did actually read the information, but just to remind everybody, podcast@tvtalkmachine.com will get to us. You can tweet us at TVTM or post on the Facebook page, facebook.com/TVTalkMachine. That's where the letters come from, folks. If you don't send them in, we don't read them. We got a couple of tweets from the Bay Area or from people who have lived in the Bay Area. George D., and Chris both tweeted in. Chris's tweet, Chris said from the Bay Area, I'm not sure what the area code is, said, Sneaky Pete is great. I finished the first season and I'm excited for season two. And I think this is our new The Riches. And Georgie Boy 36, George D. said, you guys missed an opportunity to point out that Sneaky Pete really echoes The Riches. So
we did actually.
There you go.
That's wow. It is now that I see it. I apologize to both of those guys because that was right under my nose and I didn't pick up on that.
So we finally got our answer to when The Riches is coming back.
It's coming back
August 7th, 2015. Sneaky Pete. pilot, and then now January 2017 Sneaky Pete series. Mm-hmm. That's when the
it was worth the
back.
Wait. It was worth the wait.
Mm-hmm. So you got it. There you go. There's your reference to the riches. I got a letter that was emailed to me from Karen in the 530 at the foot of Mount Shasta a little while back. And basically, Karen suggested that I need to give you, Tim, some homework that is entertaining and perhaps even a little Xanax-y. And honestly, well, the first time she sent this to me, I kind of just skipped over it because I thought, you have too much to do for homework. Mm-hmm. Karen's suggestion is that I actually get you to watch Doctor Who.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And her argument is watching Doctor Who should be far less painful than CSI Cyber and Pure Genius. Okay. That is the lowest of bars, Karen. The lowest of bars. But... what I was going to say is, it's coming back. Peter Capaldi's third and final season, as the lead on Doctor Who, cause he's going to leave and they'll replace him with yet another person, is coming up in April. And maybe I'll get you to watch one then. Maybe I'll get you to watch the premiere or something so you can like parachute in after 53 years of the show being on the air and be like, I watched an episode.
And I'm an expert.
but I'm not gonna do what Karen suggested, which is give you a like a 5-episode assignment of like watch this one and this one and this one. I'm not gonna do that because you know what? You've got enough TV to watch.
Well, I did. I will say to Karen that I did have a little bit of a Xanax TV moment when. Because you know, I always talk about the classic Maisie and everything like that. I tweeted out something. Right, there's our friend. But I tweeted out something, and I linked it to my friend Bill Goodykins because he was a huge Arthur fan, and I loved Arthur too. But he was, I was a very solid Arthur B+ rating for Arthur, but my friend Bill was an A+ Arthur fan, and So I tweeted out that Colbert and his musical director, I'm forgetting his name now.
John Batiste,
yes. And Chance the Rapper, who I really like, got together and redid the theme song for Arthur. And it's really sweet. And it was a very funny bit, a very funny taped bit. You can find it if you Google that. You can find that online. Especially if you were ever somebody who watched Arthur, it's a really sweet rendition of the Arthur song, and it's, you know, Colbert is very funny in it, and it was a moment of innocence that definitely rang that bell for me that said, yeah, why don't you go back and watch some more of this Xanax TV? But yeah, concerning the Doctor Who, it's always there. There's always a possibility that I will circle back and take Jason's original advice, which was. I think he put me starting 3 Doctors ago.
Like, and, start with, I think maybe at this point I would just say watch the Matt Smith era, because that was when they went to HD and mm-hmm. they have a new set designer and cinematographer, and so it looks modern than the mm-hmm. first couple of reboot Doctors are from. You know, I realized today, 17, that show was brought back 12 years ago. 12 years ago. It's 2017. It was 2005. 12 years ago now. And the 12 years ago stuff, although I love it, is showing its age, and it was shot in SD, and the new stuff is much more, you know, much more like modern television. But, you know, I don't know. Peter Capaldi is, I think he is super accessible as that character, because he's just so much fun to watch on his own. So that might be.
And so David Tennant was like, what, just one Doctor ago, right?
So currently Capaldi, previously Matt Smith, then David Tennant before him, and Christopher Eccleston before him.
Okay. So does that put David Tennant in? Oh, it does, doesn't it? It puts David Tennant in the standard def area.
Yeah, yeah. It was shot in PAL, so it's slightly better than standard def. I think mm-hmm. they may even show it. The HD version may be based on like the UK master, so it was like 550p or so. It's PAL. Yeah. It's slightly higher than our old SD, but not high enough. That stuff's fine. But yeah, the modern stuff started with Matt Smith.
Okay.
And that was when the show was, I think, became a hit in the US on cable, was really when Matt Smith took over. So.
And who was the Space Innocent? It's who rebooted it? The famous rebooting.
Oh, Russell T. Davis, who did Queer as Folk. That was Christopher Eccleston was the lead. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I remember that. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. That's a long time ago now. Anyway, but it's coming back, and there's a like a spinoff that's very Buffy like. It's set in a high school basically that aired in the UK in the fall, but I think BBC America is saving it to run it with Doctor Who this spring. In
oh, nice.
Like April 15th or something when it comes back, called Class.
Okay.
And that's gotten some pretty positive reviews too. So
okay,
something that we'll Karen, we will watch this and monitor and see how Tim is feeling in April.
We'll drag Tim back into it slowly.
Yes, slowly. It'll take about 55 years for you to get there. All right, one more. This is from Alan in the 415. Oh, hello, Alan.
Hello, Alan.
My nemesis. And this is actually, he says, I don't intend for this to race to the nemesis level. And in fact, we agree here. I think he read something that I said last week as being an endorsement when in fact I was just stating what had happened, which is, he said, you made an offhand mention that the magicians resolved last season's cliffhanger with unexpected magic. I agree that's what happened, but maybe it shouldn't have. It reminded me of a comment by Roger Ebert many years ago. He said, early in every movie and TV show, the creators need to define the rules of the universe, whether it be magical science fiction, action adventure, or other. Thereafter, the characters must wrestle with their challenges within those rules. If no rules are defined, the dramatic stakes are lowered, since anything can happen, and thus every right. danger can be wiggled out of. And I agree 100% with that. I think when we joke about or complain about something ridiculous in a sci-fi show or a fantasy show, I think embedded in that is the complaint that it's not really playing fair. It's internally consistent, because you could literally say, yes, but time travel isn't real every single time anyone tried to criticize Doctor Who, or you know, we don't know how to go faster than light, so Star Trek criticisms are irrelevant, right? But the creators, the writers of the shows, they set up their rules. And then if they break them, that's kind of not playing fair. It reminds me of when you got really angry at The Affair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not playing by the rules.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a compact that we have with the creators of these shows that we watch, that they
absolutely.
That they need to play fair. It makes us very angry when they don't play fair.
I'm a firm believer in that, and I always talk to my students about that when I teach my class. There's a rules that you have to follow, and if you don't follow them, I'm out.
Is your class coming back?
It's back.
Is the semester starting?
Yeah, I'm a couple of episodes into it, or a couple of episodes.
Episodes.
Oh my God, I just said that, didn't
the
I?
The new season of Tim's class. Do.
Yeah, we've had a couple of class sessions. I teach it at Monday nights now.
Oh, nice.
It's different for me. Yeah.
What are you showing them?
We started with Fargo season one, because I took a poll of them. I wanted to find out, usually I just find out how much TV they've watched. And last semester, like almost nobody had watched any TV. And when you have a lot of international students, if you do, you know, they might just be watching like basically the Chinese or Korean telenovela versions. So I always take a poll. This group, even though there was a high number of international students, they had watched a lot of television and Netflix mostly, and they had already got to like Stranger Things. Not that I would have done Stranger Things, but I would have done Black Mirror, and they had been all over that. Mm. And a couple of other ones. So I listened to what they saw, and I set the syllabus so that we're starting with Fargo season one. Showing them Fleabag in class, and then from home they're watching Top of the Lake. So there we go. Pretty strong nice. Stuff.
Good mm-hmm. stuff. All right, that's it. That's all the letters I got. We're doing Tight and Bright today. That's right. So I've already told you how to get in touch. Send us your questions and counterfactual arguments and whatever else you've got. Poems.
Alternative facts.
TV Xanax. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we will we'll get to that next week when we chat again. But until then, Tim, it has been a pleasure as always.
It has been. Yeah, I'm gonna endorse that.
All right, I'll see you next week.
All right.